I'm just curious, how many of you grew up using the Book of Common Prayer 1928 version? Quite a few. I find people today who were too young to remember it because they, in a lot of places, they did away with it back in the 60s, or they've come into the Episcopal Church after it was abolished, and so they have no knowledge of it. But one of the things I remember about it was the version of the comfortable words that are used in the 1928 book are slightly different, because I think it's based on Miles Coverdale's translation of the New Testament, which is earlier than the King James Version. And if you read Matthew 11:28, which is, we translate it in our version here this way. Hear the words of comfort our Savior Christ says to all who truly turn to Him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, who remembers how it said in the 1928 book? Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will do what to you? Refresh you. And I think there's a difference between giving rest and being refreshed. Giving rest is something you need after you've run a marathon. I've never run a marathon, but I understand you're pretty worn out at the end of it. Probably in my own life, the occasion where I most needed rest was in September of 1990. Memory and I were in New Zealand. We had come to New Zealand from Israel by way of Rome, Bangkok, Singapore, and we ended up in New Zealand. And I was speaking in New Zealand, and in the middle of the night, we got a telephone call that Memory's father had died. We were scheduled the next day to go back to Israel by way of India. And instead, we had to jump on a Qantas airliner, great airline, by the way, and fly from New Zealand to Los Angeles to Atlanta. I'll never forget it. We got into Atlanta about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Atlanta time. I don't know what time it was in New Zealand. But I felt like my body was somewhere over the Marianas Trench. My circadian rhythm had been totally disrupted, and I needed some sleep. I was tired. I needed some rest. And I remember going to bed that night and being probably as tired as I've ever been in my life. That's when you need rest. You need rest after you've eaten a big meal on Sunday and you want to take a nap. That's when you need some rest. But I think being refreshed is different from that. Being refreshed is after you've run a marathon and you are refreshed, you're ready to run another one. It rejuvenates you. It empowers you. It gives you new strength to want to do something else. That's why I prefer the comfortable words from the 1928 book, "Come unto me, all you that travail." And that word, really, I think, travail, that's translated labor, which is kind of a weak word in some versions of the Bible. I think travail is a more apt translation, because we all know what it's like to travail. That word is used in connection with a woman giving childbirth, which I understand is no fun. It's something that you know you've got to go through, this series of I don't want to say trauma, but maybe it is trauma. Pain, anyway, before the child is born. We all probably can look back in our lives and see times when we have been travailing, when life has been really difficult. And what we need is not a nap. We need to be rejuvenated. We need to be refreshed. We need to be empowered. Well, in our reading this morning from John's Gospel, Jesus is giving a warning, a foretaste to the disciples of what will happen after he ascends into heaven. Now, Ascension Day is a week from this Thursday. And Ascension Day is the day that Jesus, after he had spent time with his disciples after his resurrection on earth, ascends into heaven. And he makes it clear in the passage that we read from John's gospel this morning that he has to ascend into heaven before the Helper, who is the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside us, the one who empowers us, the one who refreshes us, before he is sent. Jesus said, it's necessary that I must go into heaven before this comes. Now, there's another place in Scripture which I'm very fond of and which I've read to you many times, but it's found in Peter's second sermon in Acts chapter 3. And Peter speaks also about being refreshed. And he's speaking here after he goes into the temple, after the healing of the cripple, and the crowd gathers around him, and he's addressing the crowd, which is, by the way, all Jewish, not a Gentile among them. And he says, the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets that his Messiah would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return. So the first step in being refreshed is to repent, is to turn away from our sins and to turn to Jesus, to acknowledge our sins, and to turn to him with all of our hearts. This is more than just an intellectual assent. We read from James' epistle this morning, but in another part of James' epistle, he talks about you believe that God is one. And there are all kinds of people that profess belief in God. He said, you do well. Even the demons believe that God is one, and they tremble. I was reading in John's Gospel the account of Jesus going into the synagogue in Capernaum, in Capernaum, which was the hometown of Peter and was where he based his ministry in the Galilee. And he went into that synagogue, and you can visit the ruins of that synagogue today, still there. And when he goes in, there is a man who is demonized, and the demon inside the man recognizes who Jesus is. And he screams out. He can't stand to be in the presence of Jesus. And he said, why have you come to torment us before the time? And Jesus commands the demon to come out. And everywhere that Jesus went, it seems that the demons recognized who Jesus was. They knew he was the Messiah. They knew he was the Son of God. They didn't need to be convinced. And yet they were lost. They were alienated from God. So it's not just mere intellectual assent to a set of theological principles. We'll read in a moment the creed. And there are all kinds of people I meet that say, oh, I believe the creed. But it's more than that to become a follower of Jesus. It's like in The Great Divorce, the classic by C.S. Lewis, when he describes the bishop who is in hell. I'm assuming he's an Anglican bishop. In fact, I'm sure he is. But he's in hell, and he's very theological. You know, he runs a theological society in hell. And God speaks and says, this man has missed the kingdom of God by 18 inches, which is the distance between his head and his heart. You see, he might have had an intellectual acceptance, but it didn't penetrate into the depth of his being. He didn't open his hearts. He didn't do what Peter here is telling these Hebrews that are crowded around him in the temple to do, to repent and to turn again. By turning again, it means not just an intellectual acceptance of who Jesus is, but it means a giving of ourselves to him as much as we're capable of doing. Presenting ourselves to him as a what? As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our spiritual service of worship, being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewal of our minds. That takes an action of our whole being. So the first step in receiving that refreshment that God wants to give each of us is to do that, is to give as much of ourselves as we're capable of giving and surrendering to his lordship, to his kingship. Repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That times of refreshing in this passage in Acts, I believe, refers to the Holy Spirit. That God would send the Holy Spirit when we turn with all of our hearts to Him. I know that we all want that refreshment. We all want to be renewed. We all want to be empowered. We all want to believe. We're discussing this on Wednesday night. I believe a legitimate prayer to pray is, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. None of us believe perfectly. None of us have faith perfectly. But God is able to give us the faith that we need. If we are this morning in travail, and if we are heavy laden, His desire is to refresh us. And what does He say? If you look at that passage in Matthew, at the end of that passage, He said, come unto me, all you who are travailing, who are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. What follows on from there? Who remembers? Take my yoke upon you. So the yoke, as I understand it, I've actually never seen animals yoked. Maybe some of you have. But the purpose of a yoke was to make the job easier. That you had the power of two or more animals working together, pulling in the same direction. Not at odds with one another, but helping one another to accomplish a task. And Jesus is inviting us to be yoked with Him. He's the other part of the yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The solution to having that travail lifted and to being refreshed is to allow Jesus to yoke us to Himself. Jesus makes it absolutely clear. He said that we are to abide in Him as a branch abides in the vine, and that apart from me, you can't do anything. I find it amazing that when we are trying to do the Lord's work in our own strength, in our own effort, it seems hard. But when the Lord is at work, when He's doing it, it is like, if any of you have ever sailed, it is like when the breeze fills the sail and begins to propel us along, which is not a bad analogy, actually, because the breeze, the wind, the ruach in Hebrew, is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who leads us and propels us in the direction that God has called us to go. And when that happens, we're yoked to the Lord, and He brings us in, as it says in the Psalms, into our desired port, into our desired haven. I believe the message the Lord wants all of us to hear this morning is that no matter what anxiety, no matter what worry, no matter what fear is gripping us and in some cases paralyzing us, Jesus wants us to be yoked to Him and to experience that refreshment that only He by His Spirit can give us. And He will accomplish that work that He has called and appointed us to do. Whatever that is, it's going to be different for each and every one of us. But He has a plan and a purpose for every human being who comes into the world. None of us are here by accident. You aren't here by accident this morning. The problem is that many of us forget who we are in Him. James talks about that. He said that it's like a man who looks at his image in a mirror and then he forgets who he is. We need to constantly remind ourselves of who we are in Him, not who we are in ourselves. Paul says, I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, within my flesh. But our goodness and our worth derives from Him. That's why every human being is of infinite value, because Jesus died for us. There is no person that we can dismiss, because Jesus not only died for us, but he cares for us. And he wants us to experience that refreshment. I know some of you here today are tired. I don't know that because you look tired. But you're bound to be. I know that all of us want to experience that refreshment that only he can give us. And I'd like for us this morning to take the words that he speaks to us seriously and to pray that he would refresh us by his Spirit as we come forward to receive the bread and receive the wine today. That we would believe that he is doing something in us that's different and powerful. In the Book of Common Prayer, before communion, there is something known as the exhortations. Have any of you ever heard the exhortations read? A few of you. Manning has. You know, I was baptized on the eighth day. No, I was baptized probably on the second day when I was a brand new baby. Brought up in the Episcopal Church, I have never heard the exhortations read, ever. So I want to, they're not long, this one is fairly short, but it's something that's supposed to be read on the first Sunday in Advent, the first Sunday in Lent, and on Trinity Sunday before you come to communion. This is none of those Sundays, but I'm going to read it to you anyway because I think this will prepare our hearts for what God wants to give us. He wants to refresh and renew us. He wants us to experience him, that his mercies are new every morning. He wants us to have a sense of excitement about belonging to him. Christianity is not meant to be dull. It's not meant to wear us down. It's not meant to be a set of rules that we grudgingly follow. It's meant to fill us with joy and excitement and to give us a sense, to use that word the way they use it today, of passion about our purpose in life. That's what true refreshment is. Let's take these words to heart. Dearly beloved, in the Lord, ye who mind to come to the holy communion of the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, must consider how St. Paul exhorteth all persons diligently to try and examine themselves before they presume to eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For as the benefit is great, if with true penitent heart and lively faith we receive that holy sacrament, so is the danger great if we receive the same unworthily. Judge yourselves, therefore, brethren, that ye be not judged of the Lord. Repent you truly for your past sins and have a lively and steadfast faith in Christ our Savior. Amend your lives and be in perfect charity with all men, so that ye be meet partakers of these holy mysteries. And above all things, ye must give most humble and hearty thanks to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost for the redemption of the world by the death and passion of our Savior Christ, both God and man, who did humble himself even to the death upon the cross for us miserable sinners who lay in darkness and the shadow of death, that he might make us children of God and exalt us to everlasting life. And to the end that we should always remember the exceeding great love of our Master and only Savior, Jesus Christ, thus dying for us, and the innumerable benefits which by his precious blood shedding he hath obtained for us and hath instituted and ordained holy mysteries as pledges of his love for a continual remembrance of his death to our great and endless comfort. To him, therefore, with the Father and the Holy Ghost, let us give as we are most bounden continual thanks, submitting ourselves wholly, with a W, unto his holy, with an H, will and pleasure, and studying to serve him in true holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. Amen. Well, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,